In the final part of our programme today, we ask, how exactly did communist propaganda work? What were the most frequent words used in the communist press? And was it at all possible to learn any real news from the censored newspapers of the communist era? There are some of the questions a team of linguists is trying to answer in their Dictionary of Communist Totalitarianism. That project is the subject of this edition of Panorama by Jan Richter.
A handful of authors of the defamatory outpouring entitled Charter 77, who include the posthumous offspring of the defeated bourgeoisie and ruined exhibitionists from the crisis years of 1968 and 69, are being given cogent responses from all layers of our working people. These are the first lines of a front-page piece in the daily Rudé Právo from January 1977. It condemns the Human Rights Manifesto, Charter 77, and its authors, including the future Czech president Václav Havel. The angry and offensive language of this and other such examples is something a team of linguists at Charles University in Prague has been studying for the past 6 years. In the first such project of its kind in a post-communist state, they have been collecting words and analyzing the way the authorities exploited the Czech language. Professor František Čermák is the head of the team.
It's a kind of project which tries to capture what has never been captured systematically before, because those things which you probably might know, like Klemperer's book for German and Fidelius' book for Czech, are only essayistic and not really systematically exploring what we set out to do, and that is namely how, through the vocabulary, the time showed and what it actually meant to all of us.
The experts scanned the front pages of the official Communist Party daily Rudé Právo, propaganda books and other such materials, collected the words and analyzed them. In total, they have processed 15 million words as the basis for a dictionary.
At the moment, we have some 15 million words made into a corpus which is completely tagged and lemmatized, and it's not only words and the frequency, but also the use in context of these words that is decisive in allowing us to be able to say anything, actually, of value to the readers.
Professor Čermák and his team have been studying the communist language from three different periods, 1952, 1969, and 1977. In each of these eras, the regime was dealing with different issues, and that was very much reflected in the language.
The first period basically meant that the party and the regime was just in a sort of, assuming a sort of defensive posture, attitude, and it just let it felt that it was defending itself against all sorts of attacks, which were not always voiced. Quite a lot of expressions like the accused one, for example, the village accused, let's say, estate holder to destruct. The collocations are extremely important just to study, to destruct aggressors, fascism, imperialists, counter-revolution, and so on. So a lot of swear words, even extremely negatively loaded words, were used.
That was in many ways also similar, as we heard in the beginning, to the year when the manifesto Charter 77 appeared. It called on the communists to respect human rights, as the regime itself had pledged to do 2 years before, when Czechoslovakia signed the Helsinki Accords.
There was a movement, protest movement charter, which was heavily condemned by the Communist Party organs, and there were just new words coined just to condemn the signatories of this charter. It was Samozvanci, for example, something like self-appointed defenders, and these things were extremely heavily frequented, and it just became Charter 77 has become a goal of, I would say, the most heavy attacks since the 50s.
Some of the most popular words in the apparatchik vocabulary were used to place phrases into a more general context, making it seem like large groups of people agreed with them. Professor Čermák calls these words useful idiots.
Let me just mention only a few of them. Secretary gained a very high frequency because Communist Party had a lot of secretaries on all sorts of levels. All these local organizations did have a secretary. So this is a quite a new phenomenon. Then trade union, there is an adjective, odborový, meaning trade union, in Czech, which is extremely frequent, meaning that the trade unions, even though they didn't have any role to play, actually they were used just to fill in, let's say, the background, which was always used to pretend that there is something else next to the Communist Party, namely trade unions, and so it was a sort of useful idiot which they felt just to mention. There is one quite interesting point which went with it, which just has been almost unnoticed, and that meant that communists, for some reason which I do not quite understand even today, is that they just were not content with, let's say, standard words like stationery, paper shop, papiernictví, which was abolished, and they just devised NARPA, which meant simply a place where you can buy a pencil and some paper, and chemodroga instead of drogerie, chemist, and quite a lot of these things.
The language of the media, subject to strict censorship, was one thing. How people spoke at home or among friends was another. Professor Čermák says when people read newspapers, they read between the lines, trying to guess what was really going on. Also, they would adopt some of the expressions, but use them in slightly different forms.
The whole language just had, in due time, a tendency to split up between the official language, which was found in print, and the unofficial one meant, that is, in the atmosphere of general distrust, that they were just mentioned only between friends, between those whom you could trust. So you had strana, party, but partaj was just the unofficial one, komunista, as against komouš, and quite a lot of things of this type.
One of the tools the linguists are using to deconstruct the language of communist propaganda is frequency lists. They show how the occurrence of words changed in time, reflecting in change in focus by those who used them. Professor Čermák says that my guess, the word strana or party, was wrong.
Not really, no. I don't really know if you're interested in hearing the frequency list. Strana comes probably as one of the first words, but not actually the very first words, because we didn't just select, let's say, in inverted commas, communist words only from the normal words. So strana party is, comes in, but let's say what is even perhaps more important is that words such as nation, social organization, center, political, politics, power, country, movement, plenum, and so on, are just the foremost ones.
The Dictionary of Communist Totalitarianism should be published by the end of the year.